Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And I want to speak about the pandemic Christmas. But what I really think about Christmas. You know, I've been a Christian now for 25 years, and I've studied various different levels of education, but I've studied the Word of God. I want to be right with God. How many of you want to be right with God? I want to be right with God. I'm not in this, you know, for fame or fortune, thankfully, hallelujah, because no one really knows me and I ain't got no money, hallelujah. So, you know, that all worked out good. But I'm in it because I'm grateful to God because God saved me when I didn't deserve to be saved. He helped me, changed me, transformed me. And so through all of my Christianity, all of my journey, I've tried to get to know Jesus. He's told me two things early on in my Christianity. He said, first of all, he said, be yourself and be for real. Be yourself and be for real. Don't try and be a facsimile of someone else. You know, don't even compare yourself to other people. He said, just keep your eyes focused on me. And then the second thing he told me very clearly, he said, just know me. Know me. And so those two things have guided my relationship and my journey with God throughout all of these 25 years, quarter of a century I've been serving the Lord. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey. And in it, you know, I've been through many, many Christmases as a Christian. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I think. I'm not going to take up a long time this morning, but I really want to just share a few things for this season. Because it seems strange in the UK right now, you know, people were you know, kind of ambushed last night with this new stuff that's taking place, new restrictions. And I even think that at Christmas this year, Chris Rea's song is actually not being able to be played on the radio at all, because it's called Driving Home for Christmas. And so I think our Prime Minister called him up and said, listen, Chris, if you've already started, then I'm really sorry. Unpack your bag, get out your motor, and go back home. But it's been a bit strange. But let's work out how it can work out, shall we? Are you ready? Who's ready? Yes. All right, praise the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for your anointing and your spirit. Lord, you're with us always. Lord, even at these times, even at times of uncertainty, even at times, Lord God, where we want to celebrate, we want to have fun, we want to enjoy the season, that, Lord God, different things can come in to try to steal that joy. But Lord, I pray today for every single person that is hearing my voice, that they would know that you are our joy and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, I pray you're going to strengthen us this season. I pray, God, that you're going to show us your love anew and afresh this season. And I pray, Lord God, that lives would be truly free. So we give you the glory today. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to be just going through the scripture and just breaking it down a little bit and just talking a little bit about what I believe about Christmas. And when I was a kid, how many of you remember being a kid? Wow, some of you are really messed up, man. Right? I remember being a kid. I have Christmases as a kid. I remember it. And it was simple and it was magical. Do you remember? Do you remember not wanting to get on the naughty list and, you know, knowing all that, you didn't know what was going on and, you know, waiting for that day in anticipation, opening, you know, the stocking at the end of your bed and all the rest of it, going to sleep on Christmas Eve and, you know, as a kid. Because the traditional side of it was what we knew. And I remember that my parents handed down traditions that had been handed down to them. And that's what traditions are. Traditions are rules that have been handed down to people that are no longer around. And there's a lot of tradition about this time of year. There's a lot of tradition about Christmas. And traditions in and of themselves, there's not really much that's wrong with them. There's not really much, when you look at it, about Christmas that is dangerous, if you look at it correctly. They're just traditions. The Bible's quite clear that we don't have to worry too much about traditions. But when you're children, the things are magical. But then as you grow, it changes. We didn't have much when I was a kid, but I remember the Christmases to this point. You know, it wasn't like today when there's all sorts of expensive presents. You know, it was like a walnut. I would get a walnut and a satsuma in me stocking and a couple of gifts, right? I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. But it was exciting. It was good. It was enjoyable. I remember it. It was a memory. You know why you remember things? You remember things when emotion is attached to information. When there's an emotion, when you feel something and it's attached to some information, that's when it sticks. And that's why Christmases become so powerful in people's lives. Then as a teen, when I was growing up, as an early adult, all of a sudden it started getting a bit stressful. It started getting a bit disappointing. The magic started to go. And I'm not talking about, understand this. If you're a theologian, you're probably going, you know, your magic and all the rest of it. Listen, I'm a theologian too. I know my theology, all right? I'm not talking about that right now. Just, you know, when I'm talking about magic, I'm not talking about Harry Potter and a wand. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get turned into a newt. I'm talking about that feeling, you know, that feeling of specialness. Are you with me? That excitement, that butterflies in your tummy, whatever it is, it's okay. It's okay to feel like that. But it started as I was a teenager, the glamour and the gloss and the glitz started. It started, you know, losing its draw. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. And then boredom started to creep in. I just wanted to be with my friends. I didn't want to be sitting around with my family, you know, saying hello to my uncles and my aunties and everyone else, and, you know, and cousins and this person, people you don't meet, you know, except for one day in the year, maybe. Or I wanted to be out with my friends. I was a teenager now. Are you with me? Christmas started to lose its appeal a little bit. Then, in my teenage years, this might not be the same for you, then I started getting involved in addiction and crime and the dark sides of life. And then things really, really changed. And Christmas became a nightmare. It wasn't even magical. It wasn't even just, you know, boring and strange. And it became a nightmare. It became a time of just, I just want to get this time out of the way. I'm seeing people having fun, and here's me sticking a needle in my arm. I'm seeing families come together, and here's me being messed up with my family, being a disappointment to my family. All of these things come in, and all of these things, in some way, shape, or form, in some place in your life, you've probably experienced similar stuff. Different seasons of your life where these things are part of your understanding, part of your reality. But then Jesus found me on a Wednesday night in July 1995, and he came and he found me outside a gym in a car on my own, drug addict. He found me. He came and looked for me. And he said to me, in so many words, he said, if you believe in me, I will change your life. And he did. He changed my life. He broke my addiction. He gave me a new life. I was forgiven. It was amazing. I had a new start. And then my first ever Christmas as a Christian in 1995, I took my dad to church at a church service Christmas Eve. And my dad became a Christian on my first ever Christmas. And he's been serving in his church now for 25 years. He's one of the elder statesmen of his church now. He laughed. I spoke to him the other day. He laughed. He said he had a visit from some people in the church because he's one of the elderly ones and they wanted to make sure he was all right. He still works out at the gym three times a week. He says, I'm not old. So I've just got a bit of snow on the roof. He said, but at least I've got a roof. Hallelujah. But then I was new. I was a new Christian.
And how many of you know, when you're a new Christian, you can get very zealous? How many of you remember those zealous times? When I'm a Christian and everything's like black and white and, you know, everything that's not in the Bible is just not, you know. And I started getting really messed up at Christmas, especially when people gave me Xmas cards. Right? And you're like, no, Xmas cards. Don't take the Christ out of Christmas. It's not Xmas. It's Christmas, Christmas. It's the feast of Christ. I started getting all zealous and religious and stuff. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. We got any of those people? Is any honest people in the house, actually? Come on, be honest, right? You first get saved, everything's all like, you know, you've come from darkness to light and now everything's in light and there's no shadow, you know what I mean? Everyone else who doesn't think like you is a sinner. But I realized some stuff. I started to realize some stuff. That it wasn't just a time of excess, but it wasn't a time to over-spiritualize either. It's just a time. And I started to look into it. I looked into the background of Christmas. I started to look into the early church fathers, the patriarchs. I started to look into the creeds, and I really dived into the Bible. What does it say about this time of year? What are the traditions? I looked into the pagan history of it. You know what I came to realize? People ask me now, will you endorse Christmas as a Christian? Should Christians celebrate Christmas? And I've come to realize from all of my 25 years of study and agonizing and all the rest of it, that I can endorse this time of year for Christians to have a good time. It's all right. I can endorse it. It's okay. There's a lot of stuff that you have to be, you know, be watchful of, but I can actually say with all conviction that it's a good time of year. It's a great time of year, man. I enjoy Christmas again. I like it again. I'm like a kid again. And you know what helped me? It's my kids. Because all of a sudden, when my kids came along, me and my wife started making little traditions. You just can't help yourself. The sack with their name on. The bauble that you buy every year to stick on your tree. We got baubles going back their whole lifetime on the tree, except for the ones that the dog ate or broke. I mean, are you with me? Little traditions that you make up. And it's just memories that you make as families. It's okay, I can endorse this time of year. I think it's a great time of year. If it's celebrated with understanding. Understand it. And now I see it in two ways. Two ways. Are you ready? It's just two ways. I am someone that is ruthlessly simple. I try and simplify everything. Because maybe that's the way my mind works. I like simplifying everything. Complicated theology. Complicated, you know, people. Just simplify everything. And I see Christmas in two ways. The first and most important way, I believe. And I say this to all of the well-meaning Christian people out there that try to block Christmas and say that if you're a Christian and you celebrate at this time, then you're wrong. I say this very, very, you know, gently to you guys as well. That firstly and most importantly, this time of year is an opportunity to showcase how much love God has for this mad, selfish, and rebellious world. It's a time to showcase Jesus, man. It's a time when we can tell people about Jesus Christ and they'll listen because they sing the songs. You know, they've already been singing Little Donkey, Little Donkey. Every time, if you've got kids and you've been to a kid's nativity, you're there singing Little Donkey. Maybe your kid was the donkey. Right? You know the stories. Maybe they was a shepherd. You know, you've utilized your tea towels. One of your children has worn one of your towels on their head at some stage. Or your dressing gown if they were a sheep or something. So people are already kind of opened up to the message of what this season is celebrating in Christianity. So it's an opportunity to showcase the love of God. And I really believe that people need to know about the real Jesus. Not the myth, not the fantasy, not the straw man argument, not the person that atheists and unbelievers try to say he is, but the real historical, biblical, theological, rheological person, Yeshua ben Yosef ben Hamivorach. Jesus, the son of Joseph, as he was known. But we'll find out who his real dad was in a minute. The son of the blessed one. The real Jesus. It's really important. That's the first thing that it's about. And we have opportunity this Christmas to tell people about Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'll celebrate anything that gives me an opportunity to showcase Jesus Christ. Right? One other thing that struck me this morning, I know people that Christians that won't celebrate Christmas, but they'll celebrate their birthday. They won't celebrate Christmas because it's not in the Bible, but they'll receive birthday cards and have a birthday party. But I don't see their birthday in the Bible. Where does it say your birthday was in the Bible? Come on, stop it. Then the second thing that it does, right, Christmas, is it's a traditional festival. And it can be enjoyed. Traditionally, it's all about midwinter, it's about new life, it's about new hope, it's about all that stuff. But how many of you know the story of God supersedes all of that? But it can still be enjoyed if it's done right and everything's put in its right box. But the greatest gift that we can unwrap this year came in a really small parcel. And it started off as a baby. So let's quickly just unwrap the Christmas story a little bit and get a glimpse of something amazing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And I'm gonna read this scripture and I'm gonna just break it down a little bit. Is that all right? So this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. Now, what you'll notice, first of all, it doesn't say this is when Jesus was born. It tells us how he was born. It tells us where he was born. And when you have a look at all of those things, you realize the plan of God is perfect. He was born just as the Bible said he was going to be born. He was born where the Bible said he was going to be born. But we never find out actually when to the day. The Bible don't tell us. But I love to tell people that it's not the exact date of his birth that we're celebrating. It's the fact of his birth that we're celebrating. He was actually born in the way the Bible says, where the Bible said. And it's important. He was born in a place, if you really do your study, in the Migdol Eder, the watchtower of the flocks, the place where the royal flocks of sheep were raised, the lambs of which were the ones that when they were examined and found to be without spot or blemish, they were the ones that would be used at Easter time, at Passover, as sacrifices in the temple. So the shepherds of those flocks were the ones that were the experts in Levitical law, right, in checking out whether a lamb was worthy or not. So they were the perfect place. So he was born as the Lamb of God. And the angels that came to the shepherds, and they told him, go and see this dude, check him out, this little baby, check him out. If you think he's the right one, then, you know, this is the Lamb of God. Amazing stuff when you look at it, how it all comes together, this story. But then it goes on the scriptures. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, so there's no consummation. While she was still a virgin, she was without child. The word in the New Testament is one that combines all the three words of the Old Testament to do with this. And it's just a childless young girl, a childless young girl. She was a virgin. But she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people have an issue with that. They have an issue with God impregnating a young girl. I've even had you know, debates with atheists that use this in a very, very irreligious and lewd fashion to say that God had sex with her and all that. How can you trust a God that... No, stop all that nonsense. If God can create Adam out of dirt and breathe life into his dirty old body, hello, then he can impregnate a virgin very easily. And if he can't, then he's not a God that I want to serve. If he ain't got that sort of power, then why are we bowing down and worshiping him anyway? He has the power to do that. And he did that. And it was done. And it was done to such a point, right? That Joseph was freaked out with it. He's like, wow, sister, what's going on? You know what I mean? Who you been with? What's the matter? What are you doing? You messed up. She's like, no, no, this was an angel came and told me. God was going to give me a child. She was a young girl. She would have spoke like that. But Joseph, come on now. Listen. If I was getting ready to get married and my wife-to-be came and told me that she'd been she was pregnant and she was impregnated by God, are you with me? I've heard some stories, but that's a bit far-fetched. He was going to be freaked out. But watch this. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. This is important. He was a God-fearing man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly. Under the law, he could have had her cast out. She would have been, you know, she could have been stoned to death under the laws of the day. But he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. This was a good man. Even though it must have freaked him out, he was a good man. Because let's face it, you know, your virgin wife-to-be that you haven't slept with is all of a sudden telling you that God's made her pregnant. Now, we read that in the Bible when we say, well, it's in the Bible and it's got, you know. But put it in reality. The Bible's real. It talks about real events. How would you feel? How would you feel if your wife-to-be had been made pregnant and she was telling you that God did it? As a man, how would you feel? And then as a woman, how would you feel if all of a sudden an angel told you God's going to get you pregnant? And then all of a sudden you started, you know, to feel it. It's going to freak you out. Imagine this couple, man, and what it was that they actually experienced. Have you ever looked at things like that? Maybe I'm weird. I look at stuff like that. I look at things in reality and try and make the, you know, try and put them into today's, you know, reality. It's weird. But look at what they did. And here's the thing. He decided to break the engagement quietly. You know, out of all the men in the Bible, and I love Caleb. You know, everyone's got their favorite type of men, right? Esther, you know, you got your favorite woman of God, whoever it is. I love Joseph. I love this man. You know why? Because out of all the men that are mentioned in the Word of God, he doesn't get enough credit. But look at what he did. Look at what he stood for at this type of season. You know, one of the things that I really love about him is not only was he a man of grace and honor, you know, he could have just, you know, really just let loose and, you know, made a big thing of it, but he was going to just deal with it quietly. He didn't quite understand it, but he was going to deal with it quietly. He didn't want to disgrace her. There must have been love involved. Are you with me? Not only was he an honorable man, but also he was someone that God trusted to take care of his son. You don't hear a lot about Joseph. You don't hear of him starting churches or healing the sick or raising the dead or opening the eyes of the blind or dealing with Israel's enemies. You don't hear much of him other than this story. We don't even really know when he dies or when he goes. He's here and then he's there for a little bit and then he's gone, right? But what an amazing thing. Sometimes, listen, sometimes even you might have been a Christian for a long time. You might just be there serving in the background. You might be someone that no one really sees what's going on. Maybe you pray, maybe you serve, maybe you're the one going out, giving out the hampers that no one sees. You're not on TV, you're not on the radio, you're not on the internet, you ain't got books out, and maybe you feel less than other people. But I want to let you know that Joseph was that type of person, but God thought that he was a safe pair of hands. Safe enough that God himself could entrust his son into his keeping. Check that out. What an amazing testimony. What is God entrusting into your hands in this season? Who is he entrusting into your hands? Maybe someone that is not even a Christian yet, that he is entrusting their salvation experience to you this year. That you're the witness that's going to tell them about the Son of God that came to set them free. You're the one that's going to shine your light in their darkness. Maybe he's trusting you like he trusted Joseph at this time of year. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing that you can be known for is being trusted by God. Then the Bible says, as he considered this, because you have to think about it. How many of you have ever wrestled with God in any way, shape, or form within your life? You've wrestled with something that he wants you to do or something that you feel. Or he was considering it. He was thinking about it. It's okay to do that. I do it all the time. I was doing it in my car this morning, wrestling with something with God and coming to a conclusion of, you know, what it was maybe that God wanted to do in my life in this season. Wrestling, but God, and I'm arguing. I'm like, but God, what were you doing? Why are you allowing this? Do you ever do that? Or your prayers on your knees with your hands like that going, ee. It's okay to be real. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. Here it is in a nutshell. Everything that this season's all about. Here is this man, Joseph, confused, angry, sad, lonely, worried, wrestling with stuff. But all of a sudden, the messenger from God, because that's what an angel is, a messenger from God came to him and gave him a message from God and said, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And this is what it means. I think that's the beautiful thing about this time of year. That there are people that are out there, especially now in the pandemic, that are wrestling with different stuff, that are confused, that are angry, that are feeling lonely. But maybe the message of God coming to you is that it's going to be okay. There's a reason for this. There's something good that's going to come out of it. But the whole reason, the central point of this, was about this child, this gift, that this little baby, he's going to grow up to become the savior of the universe. And then it goes on, all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This prophet Isaiah, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years previous to this point, had made this prophecy, and here it was. And then when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. This is another key, man. How many of you know you can get a message and do nothing with it? You can have God tell you what to do and do nothing with it. Someone can give you a gift and you don't unwrap it. How many people have recycled their salvation gift? Like you recycled that present you got in the Secret Santa. Hello. Someone else is wearing the socks that should be warming your feet. Someone else is using that Lynx deodorant while you remain smelly because you didn't want to open that gift. How many people have got the opportunity of finding out about Jesus in this season and then just pass it on to someone else? Well, that's good for you. That's good for them, but it's not good for me. But Joseph did what the angel told him. It was enough for him that God's word had come to him and God's message had come to him. It was enough for him, and he did it. He trusted. And that's what salvation is all about. That's what faith is all about. It's about trusting in the God that created everything and has given us enough evidence to base that trust upon. He took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Heavy stuff. And Joseph named him Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior of God, the salvation of the Lord. And he did it just as he was told. And that is what this season's all about. What we celebrate the fact of. And if you've never unwrapped this gift, if you've never received this gift and looked at it and unwrapped it, this gift of salvation, why not do it this year? Why not do it in the maddest year of all? Why not get saved in the lockdowns? Get saved in pandemic? Why not turn the negative into a positive? That's what it's all about. But then we get to the traditional bit. I don't know if you know, every single family has its own unique ways at Christmas. You look at every culture, they've all got their different Christmases. In my family, on Christmas Day, we're going to be eating turkey. Are you with me? But because I've been around different cultures, it's going to be seasoned before we get it out of the oven. Hello. I'm influenced highly by my West Indian and African brothers and sisters. And they season their meat, man. They season their meat. Their meat tastes good. I was brought up in a white family. Our version of seasoned meat is a bit of salt and pepper after it's come out of the oven. Bland old stuff. But we're going to be having turkey this year, seasoned up deliciously. Maybe a bit of beef or a bit of ham. You know, we've been watching about how to put that ham, you know, put treacle on it, cloves in it and all that. We were watching. I was watching that Jewish lady that was cooking ham. I couldn't work that out on telly. I couldn't quite work that one out. She has a cooking program, famous Jewish lady that cooks. She was cooking ham. I couldn't quite work that out. But she gave us some good ideas. So we're going to be doing all that. But some of you are going to be having curry goat. You're going to be having rice and peas. Pound of yam, whatever it is you're going to be having. And it's okay. That's your tradition. That's fine. Praise God. Some people are going to be opening their presents at the stroke of midnight. Because they can't wait for anything. I know people that do that. As soon as it goes midnight, boom. It's like a frenzy. Huh? I know some people that wait until after dinner. That's sick. That's cruel, man. Huh? That's sleep time. That's not let's get excited over presents time. Let's lay on the couch, watch random TV, and just sleep for a minute. But whatever your tradition is, right? We've all got our different traditions. Are you with me? Some people will wear the same pajamas. A whole family dressed as elves. That might be you. That's good. That's okay. That's all good, man. But if it's unique to you, then that's the beauty of it. You're making memories for your family. You're not making memories for mine. That's my job. Right? But this time of year, Christmas is unique. It's different. It's pandemic Christmas. You can't go and visit your family. They've even added another tier. Tier 4. What's it going to be next year? Well, it's tier 8. Who knows how many tiers there's going to be? Are you with me? Well, if you've got black hair, you're in tier 5. And I know they're doing their best.
So we need to pray for our authorities and our government that they do what's right. It's unique. The Grinch is doing his best to steal people's Christmas. You ever watch that movie? The Grinch, the green thing, comes in, tries to steal Christmas, right? And the Grinch is trying to steal Christmas this year. It's a spiritual thing. It's trying to get people down. It's trying to make people depressed. It's trying to get people compliant. How many of you know we got to steal it back? We got to take it back. When I was growing up in the Lord, there was a song. It said, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Right? He's under my feet. He's under your feet. So I don't know about you, but even though we can't see our family, we can't travel into another tier area, you can't go to Scotland or come from Scotland or go to Wales or, you know, Southend or wherever it is, I don't know. I'm not going to let the Grinch steal my Christmas. Amen? Are you with me? Are you ready for a rumble? Huh? So I just want to give you a few little tips about claiming your Christmas back. Is that right? Before we close. Don't cancel your Christmas. Tip number one, don't cancel it. I've heard some people saying, well, Christmas is cancelled this year. Don't cancel it, man. Just remember this. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. Don't cancel it. Just adapt it. Adapt your Christmas. You might even come up with a new tradition. Hello? Secondly, understand that however good or bad this year's situation is, it will change. Every season changes, man. You remember in the summer when it was warm? We had summer and no one could go out. Praise God, I had a garden, but man, if you had a flat, hello. But how many of you know that season's changed? And just as seasons change naturally, so they change supernaturally and spiritually. This season's going to change. But here's my question. When the season has changed, have you? Has this just been a write-off this year? Or has it been a time when something in you has changed? What have you gained from this? How have you utilized it? How have you let God change you in this season? Somewhere or somehow for better? Have you become more caring, more patient? More grateful, more spiritual? Or are you just surviving, just waiting until you can write this thing off and get back into normality? At the start of lockdown, I preached a message, and in Hong Kong, there was a big thing that was painted like graffiti, and it said, we don't want to go back to normality because the normality that we had was the problem. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be normal. I tried being normal once. It was the worst 2 minutes of my life. I look at normal people and I think, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be normal. I want to be supernatural. I don't want to be natural and normal. I want to be super normal. I want to be supernatural. Are you with me? I want to be changed by the power of God. I want to have learned some lessons. I want to look back on 2020 and say that I used it. It didn't use me. So understand it's going to change, but make sure that it's changed you. Be determined about that. Get a win. How many of you have had a win this season that you can look back to and you can say, oh, I had a win there, man? Maybe you did one Joe Wicks workout, but that's all right. It's better than no workouts. Third thing, tell your special people how special they are to you. Now. Today, don't even wait for Christmas Day. Why should we wait for a special occasion to tell special people they're special? Learn that. Don't wait. And then also, check this out. I'm coming into a landing. Flaps are down, seatbelt signs on. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to circle the runway. This is really important, this one. You've got to be aware that no one else is in charge of your happiness but you. Boris Johnson and the government are not in charge of your happiness. You know, Chris Whitty ain't in charge of your happiness. You are in charge of your happiness. You have to take authority over the things that are trying to pull you down and crush you, and you have to say, it doesn't matter what happens. This is my responsibility. It's your responsibility, not how situations come to you, but how you respond to the situations. And if you're looking up to God, if you're looking up to Christ, then you're not going to be looking down and falling down and being down and staying down. Don't envy other people either, because envy is a waste of time, because you don't know what they've been through to get what they've got and be where they're at. Don't envy people. Try to accept and enjoy what you already have. You got life, you got breath. Come on now. You can celebrate it with people around you, even if you're on your own. At least you're on your own in your own house and you're not on a COVID ward. Hello? At least you can eat and drink and be merry in some way, shape, or form. Unlike the people in Yemen or the pastors in China. Accept what it is you've got and enjoy it. And don't get all bent out of shape by what you don't have. And then don't try and get this year over with and just forget all about it. Because that's the attitude of defeat. Make good memories. Make good memories. If you've got kids, raise up your kids and make a good memory that they remember pandemic Christmas. Man, we had so much fun. Can we have a lockdown next Christmas, Mum? Can we have a lockdown next Christmas, Dad? Whatever it is, man, make good memories. Enjoy, go for a walk, drink hot chocolate, get dressed up as elves and walk around the neighborhood laughing at people. Whatever it is. If you make memories, I guarantee you'll remember this year more than any others because of how unique it is. And it's a win. And you've grown. And then lastly, spread some joy. Laugh where you can. You know, when I'm preaching, I don't write any humor in my notes. But I have humor built into me. I'd rather laugh at a situation than cry at the situation. You know, I believe that humor is a good tool. And if you haven't got any humor, go and have a look in the mirror. You'll get some real quick. Because I'm not saying you've got a big nose, just I wouldn't mind it filled with pound coins. Make memories, laugh, joke. Don't be foolish. But have some fun. Above all, know that God loves you. And he loves you not because of anything you did or didn't do. It's not about how well you've lived, and it's not about how bad you've lived. It's not about anything you've done. It's about who he is and what he's done. He loves you because he is love. And he's decided that this year, pandemic, he's going to love you with an everlasting love. He's going to wrap his arms around you and it's going to work out. He's going to love you because he loves you. And when you can know that and you can accept that, that's the best gift you can ever have. That's why Jesus was born. So, unwrap the gift. Rise above this year. Let's have a win. Let's make 2020 the year that Christ really became the center of everything we do. Father, today, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that everyone would understand that even though plans have changed, your plan never changes. From beginning to end, the plan was that the Lamb of God would be slain and that the blood of that Lamb would be used to buy our freedom. My God, that plan never changed. Jesus was born. And that gift is still available to every single person to receive, to unwrap. And when accepted, when understood, when received, that gift removes every limitation. It removes every obstacle to us knowing who you are and who we are. And where it is that we're going to be going. Holy Spirit, today I just pray, touch every heart. Touch every life. Would you stand in this place? If you're at home and you could stand, would you stand? Because I really believe that God wants to do something in people's lives today. Just lift up your hands. Forget about the circumstances, your broken plans, your disappointments. Because God's making an appointment with you. You might already be saved. That's good. Give that gift to someone else. Give that gift to someone else. And if you're not, then receive that gift for yourself today. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, say that name. Jesus. Jesus. That beautiful name. Jesus. Just say that name. Tell him, Jesus, I receive you. I receive your gift. I receive your love. I receive your power. I receive your truth. I receive your strength. I receive your forgiveness. And freely as I've received, so give me the strength to then give. Thank you, Lord. Come, let's worship him.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Go to vomanchester.org for more information.